Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." I speak to you in the name of God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer.
Amen.
Amen. While scrolling through the internet the other day, I came upon a news item. President Biden has issued Executive Order 9066, which provides people who have entered the U.S. without documents with a $5,000 Visa gift card. Did anybody else see this item? If you did see it, would you believe it?
No.
Here's a hint. Executive Order 9066 was actually issued by FDR in 1942 to intern Japanese Americans in camps for the duration of World War II. For some time now, users of the internet and other news sources have been faced with sorting through an increasing pile of information that has a decreasing level of legitimacy. Alternate facts, fake news, deep fake states, and similar phrases make it more and more difficult to know what to believe and what is the truth. As a college instructor, this issue concerns me a great deal. Last week, while preparing a lecture, I came across an organization created to help young people determine the truthfulness of a media claim. The organization, MediaWise, asks three questions. Who is behind this claim? What's the evidence? And what do other sources say? Then the young people themselves create a web-based show called Is It Legit? To evaluate the claims. In this morning's gospel reading, we meet another person who is asking, Is it legit? The Apostle Thomas, also known for centuries as Doubting Thomas. The story from John 20 takes place across two Sundays, Easter Sunday and the following week. Last week, we heard about Mary Magdalene's early morning arrival at Jesus' tomb, recognizing the living Jesus when he called her by name. Mary told Jesus' disciples that she had seen the Lord and spoken with him. John's gospel does not say how or if the disciples received this information, but that evening finds the group huddled together fearfully behind locked doors in one of their usual meeting places. It is only when Jesus came and stood among them, offering his own body and the wounds he received on the cross to his friends, that the disciples rejoiced and saw the truth. Jesus was indeed alive. Jesus speaks peace upon his friends and followers and tells them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came, John tells us. Thomas was not exactly one of the lead disciples among the 12. In the Synoptic Gospels, all we are told is that he was one of the 12. He's listed with a group of others whom Jesus calls to follow him. He's not at the top of the list or at the bottom of the list. An apocryphal tradition throws Thomas a bone. As Mary, the mother of Jesus, ascends to heaven, she drops her girdle, which is caught by Thomas as proof of his witness to the ascension. But it is only in John's gospel that we get a glimpse of Thomas as an individual. In Jesus' lengthy conversation with his disciples on Maundy Thursday, he reassures his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." The other disciples apparently nod their heads and look pious and wise. But Thomas is not satisfied with this spiritual version of Google Maps. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Thomas understands that Jesus is talking about leaving. He understands that he does not want to be separated from Jesus. So he asks for directions. Jesus responds, "I am the way and the truth and the life. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Now it's Easter evening. Since Thomas appears to be a little bit more literal-minded than Jesus' other followers, perhaps we aren't surprised by his response when the disciples Jesus sends out encounter Thomas and joyfully share, "We have seen the Lord. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." We don't know why Thomas wasn't with the other disciples on Easter evening. Although scripture says that Jesus was abandoned by most of his disciples at the time of his arrest and crucifixion, word has certainly spread through Jerusalem about the shameful death of the man who would be king of the Jews. Thomas may have been hiding at home, worried that the cruel machinery of the Roman Empire would be seeking Jesus' followers to grind up next. Perhaps he was simply overcome by grief at the loss of his teacher and friend, or overwhelmed by the end of a period of his life that had given him hope for his community in the midst of harsh oppression and colonization by the Romans. While he might not have understood the full import of everything Jesus said, Thomas could remember the kindness and love Jesus modeled for his disciples and for the harassed and helpless people he ministered to. What a blow for Thomas and the rest of the disciples to hear that Jesus had been killed by Rome in a brutal and humiliating way. Like many of us, maybe Thomas simply could not bear being around others in the midst of his grief and despair. Maybe he has decided that closing his mind and heart to the memories and meaning of his time with Jesus is the only way he can move forward. Maybe he has already heard the rumors that Jesus' followers have taken his body themselves to lend support to the idea of his supposed resurrection. What should he believe? Where is the truth? Thomas, being Thomas, states his requirements to the other disciples plainly. He must not only see the risen Jesus, but touch his wounds with his own hands in order to believe. A week later, the encouragement of his fellow disciples or a little flame of hope inside Thomas brings him back to the meeting house. It had to be difficult for him to be around the other disciples that were part of his memories with Jesus. And then Jesus came and stood among them once again. Again he spoke, "Peace be with you." And again, he offers himself. "Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." Jesus is giving Thomas exactly what Thomas said he needed in order to believe. He graciously offers himself as the evidence, the proof, the way, and the truth. Thomas recognizes Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And thus, doubting Thomas becomes believing Thomas. If we read this story carefully, Thomas is not the only doubter. After Mary told the disciples that she had seen the risen Jesus on Easter morning, there is no affirmation from the disciples. And on Easter evening, the disciples do not rejoice and see Jesus until he appears to them and shows them his hands and side. So why does Thomas have to carry around the doubting label? Maybe it's because of Jesus' words to him after he acclaims him as "my Lord and my God." "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Many interpreters and preachers and present-day believers take this as a rebuke of sorts, that while Thomas eventually came to the correct belief, it would have been more to his credit had he just believed when the disciples told him the first time. But remember, the disciples didn't believe Mary at first either. They didn't believe until Jesus appeared to them and showed his hands and side. And I'm not sure this picture of Jesus graciously offering Thomas just what he needed for faith, then judging him for this need, is a whole or truthful picture. What if, instead of judging Thomas for needing to see and touch the truth, Jesus is saying, "Others will come to believe in me, even without seeing and touching me. Not because they have superior faith, but because they did not live in the time when Jesus walked on the earth and the risen Jesus appeared to his first followers. In other words, your belief from seeing and touching me will be the seeds of the belief of many more who cannot see and touch." There's a community of Christians in southern India who have existed for many centuries. Many centuries, in fact, before the Catholic Portuguese colonized parts of India and instilled their faith practices. The Christians are sometimes called Thomas Christians. Thomas, because their tradition states that the Apostle Thomas landed in India around 52 AD and established seven churches in Kerala. Those seven churches have developed into 4 million Christians today in a variety of denominational traditions, including one group, the Church of South India, that is affiliated with the Anglican Communion. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." This community testifies to the faithfulness and belief of the Apostle Thomas. In the Acts of the Apostles this morning, we read about one of the first Christian communities who were of one heart and soul. In this community, the apostles preached the truth of the resurrection, and the community became the evidence, graciously offering themselves and their possessions so that there was not a needy person among them. Their embodiment of the good news was a powerful witness to the truth after the physical Jesus had ascended to heaven. Thomas has always been one of my favorite Bible people. He was honest in his grief and inability to believe something that, let's be honest, was too good to be true. We don't encounter joy and hope in the world nearly often enough these days either. Often the realities we deal with mean adjusting ourselves to circumstances we are deeply uncomfortable and saddened by. This makes it even harder to believe in the good news that God raised Jesus from the dead and is at work in the world renewing life and hope and joy. Almost 20 centuries after those Sunday evening meetings, Jesus' disciples continue to gather. We continue to wonder what to believe. Sometimes we grieve, are overwhelmed by the differences between the world we have and the world as God intends it to be. When we read Scripture, we know there is truth there for us, but we still need to ask for directions. And so we come to this meeting house week after week to seek the truth. As the body of Christ, we speak peace to each other, offering our hands to be clasped. We come as a body and stand or kneel next to the warmth of our neighbors at the altar. Jesus graciously offers himself to us again in the bread and the wine that we see and taste. And then we are sent into the world to offer ourselves to embody the truth. Amen.